As I was getting ready for this message today, after Brother Scott and I had lunch, and you know, I, as an evangelist, you kind of really have to stay in the spirit to get the mind of the Holy Ghost of that service. Because I'm not here to just to preach a lot of repeats where I go, and I do that when the Lord leads me. But I don't think I've ever preached on this text per se. We quote it. But as far as really preaching it, I've never done that. I'm sure other men have done that greatly, and that's wonderful. But as I was getting ready for this, I began to ask the Lord, how do you want me to approach this? Why is this so important to live a holy life? Not to have other gods. And the Lord began to bring to me, to my remembrance, the term compass. When I was in Royal Rangers, was anybody here at Royal Rangers? Several of us. When I was at Royal Rangers, one of the first things they teach you, besides lashing and that's tying rope and all that stuff, is how to do a compass. That if you're going to be going to go somewhere that you don't never been, you need to take a compass. And you need to know how to use it and to read it. And the compass needle will always point where? North. And everything you do, when you're using it, are you listening to me? Everything you do is relationship to that compass. So if the needle is saying north, and I need to go west, I keep that needle pointing there and start going in the degree that I'm supposed to go. But if you don't have a compass, you're going to get lost. When they went to the North Pole back in the day, they find it, there's no, it's complete whiteout. You don't know where you're at. So you depend on the compass. When you're in an airplane, how many of you here ever flown? And you go through clouds, the pilot depends on his compass. So he knows where he's at. And if you get off just a little bit, you can be hundreds and hundreds of miles off track. When a person is serving God, and how many of you tonight are serving the Lord? The Bible is your compass. Now what's happened to the American culture, and this is my last message to preach to y'all, listen to me. When we see the homosexual agenda, the transgender agenda, the legalizing of drugs is all by design. I probably said this before in this church, but Karl Marx, that wrote the Communist Manifesto, said three things must be destroyed for communism to work. One, you have to destroy your faith in God. Secondly, you destroy the family. And thirdly, you destroy private property. When those three things are destroyed, you control the society. I have a friend. Well, I know a few people that are from Cuba. I mentioned it last Sunday, I think. That in Cuba, you don't own anything. You don't own your chickens. You do not own your house. You own nothing. They ration your food every month according to the size of your family. So if you're living in Havana, Cuba, you get one dozen of eggs a month. You get a certain amount of rice and beans because you don't own anything. You cannot fish on the island of Cuba because the fish do not belong to you. The fish belong to the government. That's what communism does. That's what's happening to America. But you have to be able to brainwash people and take away their compass so they don't know where they're at. Now, we're living in a culture where people do not know where they're at. They have no bearings. Anything goes for them. They don't know what right is, wrong is, when it's up, when it's down, because there's no compass. Now the compass for the believer is the Word of Almighty God. And so it doesn't matter what ethnic group we are in. It does not matter what country we came from. It does not matter what language we speak. The compass is the same for every individual. It does not matter if we're 5 years old or 105. The compass is the same. And the compass gives you, it gives you boundaries in your life. And so Joshua is 90 years old, and he's elderly. This is his last speech, except for Judges chapter 1 and 2, to the nation of Israel. And he's gathered them together. And he begins to remind them where God has brought them from. How many of you know it's good to tell your family, your children, your grandkids, what God has done for you and where you have been brought from? If you believe it tonight, shout amen. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, also communism wants to get rid of your past. Tear down statues. Rewrite the laws. It's interesting. I was listening to Fox News. I'm going to get political. You may not like it, but I'm going to say it anyway. In California right now, they're going to raise the minimum wage on every fast food restaurant in California to $20 an hour. So you know what? That's going to happen to McDonald's. Except for Panera Bread. Because the owner of Panera gives lots of money to the governor. And the way they're getting around that, to keep it at $16 an hour, is because they sell bread. They have a bakery. They're not. So they've said they're really not fast food. That's communism. But when you don't have an ethic, and you don't know what is right or wrong, then it's okay. How many of you understand, folks, that our foundation of faith is the Word of Almighty God? And you have to preach that to the next generation, to the children in Sunday school. It's got to be more than VeggieTales. It has to be more than a cartoon strip. It has to be more than something that's, I'm not against it in principle. But brother, we have a generation that does not know the Word of God. In fact, the Assemblies of God did an internal house evaluation of our movement. They brought in George Barna. And he's, because we no longer have Sunday school, our churches, we are the most illiterate generation ever in the history of our movement. We wonder why we have all the stuff we have. They don't know. They don't know the Word. They don't know about the Word. Paul, in fact, it was David that said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." But if you don't know the Word, and you don't know what the Word of God is saying, then it's so easy to drift. But how many of you tonight know if you have a moral compass, you have the Word of God? If you're drifting, you know you're drifting. How many of you tonight are thankful for the Word of God called the Bible? If you are, shout amen tonight. And so here he sees Joshua, and he's reminding Israel what God had done for them. He talked about the false prophet Balaam that the king of Moab hired to curse Israel when they were in the wilderness, and he hired them to curse him. And Balak the king said to Balaam, "Why have you not cursed him?" And he says, "I cannot curse whom God has blessed." But if you read the story, Balaam tells Balak, if you want to curse Israel, you have to draw the men out to commit fornication with the women. See, Satan cannot go to where you're at. So he has to draw us out. You ought to get that. That's why I'm a holiness preacher, because according to the Word of God, you're separate. But when we start participating, he's drawing you out. Then he has an advantage over you. He has an advantage over me. I don't care. I love this man, Brother Scott. We talk about a lot of the preachers that we looked up to years ago that failed because they were drawn away, like the book of James says, by their own lust. And Satan knows what buttons to push on you to draw you out. But in spite of that, the scripture says that Balaam blessed Israel. How many of you believe if you serve God, even your enemies will bless you? You ought to hear me. I said, can I get a witness out here? Am I a First Baptist Church or First, the Assemblies of God Church? If you are serving God, even your enemies will bless you. Hallelujah. Praise that they can't help themselves. And so he's dealing with how God delivered them out of Egypt. God brought Abraham out. I read the whole thing. It's very powerful. But then he says in verse 14, this is what I want to deal with. Joshua says this, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him. Everybody say, fear the Lord. Now I know we don't talk about the fear of the Lord anymore. I think we were the last generation that taught, but they preached that. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now, I know this is honoring God. You can we like to sanitize it. Well, that means honoring God. When you say, well, how do you honor God? You respect Him. Everybody go, I respect Him. He's not the man upstairs. He is the mighty God. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And my commandments are not grievous. It's not something I have to do. It's something I get to do. And Jesus was asked the question, what is the greatest commandment? And He said, love the Lord and then love your neighbor. Because He's dealing with the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are on two tablets. The first set of commandments deal with our relationship to God. If I love God, I'll keep those commandments. If I love my neighbor, I'll keep His commandments. If I love my neighbor, I'm not going to commit adultery. If I love my neighbor, I will not defraud him. If I love my neighbor, I will not covet what he has. If I love him. And so therefore, if I love, I will keep the commandments. But if I do not love, it's all about me. Some call it now narcissism. Well, I call it egocentrical. It's all about me. What can I get out of it? Well, what can I get out of you? There are users. Has anybody ever met a user? But you see, the Christian is not a user. The Christian is a servant. Let me say that again. Christians do not use one another. Christians serve one another. Brother, if you're a user, you're not saved. Listen to me. If you're a con artist, you're not saved. I was at T.D. Jakes Church many years ago when Brother Jakes first came to Dallas, Texas. And he opened up a great church. He just opened, in fact, built the new one. And he was preaching on abuse. And he says, if you've been abused, go to this side of the altar. So thousands of people go to this side of the altar. But then he said, if you have been an abuser, go to this side. As many people went over there. And then one person didn't know which side to be on. Because he was abused and an abuser. And we're not just talking about sexually abusing. We're talking about abusing. And it's everywhere. It's in churches. Everybody go, hallelujah. And we're not just talking about children. We're just talking about people that take advantage and defraud one another. But if we love God, we won't do that. We will always consider someone else better than us. Listen to me. We will always consider someone better than us. I've been preaching for a long time. When I went to Bible school, we had some amazing musicians, singers. You could get a degree in it. Much better than me. Much better than the way I can play and sing because that was not my major. And there was sometimes jealousy within the group. Who can play better? Who can sing better? In the ministry, who can preach better? Who has the biggest church? Who has the better teacher? Who has the most offerings coming in? Who has the biggest house? Who has the best car? How many cars do you have? How many square foot is your house? And all of that is fleeting. Popularity is fleeting. But Jesus Christ is eternal. Can anybody give the Lord a clap offering tonight? Hallelujah. We are serving the eternal God. So he said, to put away the gods. Everybody shout, put away your gods. That means our idols. Our statues. Oh, Jesus. Everybody just shout, Jesus. I remember years ago, I was preaching up in Colorado. In Durango, Colorado. There was a young man at the altar. Backslid. Had an earring in his ear. He comes down the altar, he begins to weep and weep and weep. And as he's weeping, he's unscrewing the earring out of his ear and lays it on the altar. I didn't say anything about his earring. But he recognized, I've got to lay it down. What was the last thing we laid down for God? Have you ever laid anything down for God? I know there's people on TV that will tell you not to do that. That they'll tell you that that's just old legalism. But I want you to know, brother, a lot of these people have a short-lived ministry. I'm not in this for the short time. I'm in it till the day He calls me home. How many of you want to serve the Lord till the day He calls you? Either by the rapture or by the grave. There was another boy who was preaching at First Assembly of God in Tucson many years ago. Your Pastor Jimmy Munns. A kid came up. He had two big old studs at his ears. He was coming down to receive the Holy Ghost. He couldn't get it. He couldn't get it. His name was Simon. He said, Brother Chris, he said, do you think these earrings are keeping me from receiving the Holy Ghost? I said, I don't know. Ask God. He came up to me a few minutes later. He says, I think they are. I said, well, what are you going to do about it? He said, I'm going to take them out. When he took them out, within 30 seconds, he's baptized in the Holy Ghost. You see, we don't preach this hardly anymore. But he's saying, get rid of your gods. Whatever is between you and God, we've got to get rid of it. Then he goes on to say this. Are y'all with me tonight? Are you bored? It says, your fathers... Let me go back and read verse 14 again. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, that means the Jordan River, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. In other words, whatever your forefathers did that were ungodly, you don't have to do it. Well, you don't understand, my mother was this, or my grandmother was this, or, I preached a lot in Louisiana, and you have a lot of voodoo down there. A lot of witchcraft. Well, the difference between that part of the country and this part of the country is we call it voodoo, we call it New Age. Oh. Yeah, we dressed it up. They may have tarot cards, but we have crystals. It's the same demon. But when people get saved, they come out of that. You come out of yoga, which is Hinduism. You come out of all of that stuff because you're serving the living God. Maybe your grandmother was a witch. Maybe your grandmother was this, and your grandfather was an alcoholic. Let me just say something. My great grandfather from Oklahoma was a alcoholic. My grandfather from Oklahoma was an alcoholic. But when my mother got saved, when I was 5 years old, that curse was broken. How many of you know that when you get saved, the past is under the blood? Everybody shout, it's under the blood. Say one more time, it's under the blood. When I lived in Mexico, that's a Catholic country. When people got saved, after a period of time, they got rid of their picture of Guadalupe. They got rid of the statues of the Virgin Mary. They got rid of all that stuff because they're serving the true and living God. You don't have to get up and just talk about it. It just happens because they're changed. And when we're saved, we're changed. When we're saved, we're delivered. When we're saved, we're free. When we're saved, we're on our way to heaven. Is anybody in this house saved tonight? If you're saved, lift up your head and shout, I'm saved. Our music that we listen to changes. We don't listen to filthy music anymore. It should revolt you. I was in church on the day of the Super Bowl, but they said the halftime show was demonic. And all these Christians, could you believe what they were saying? What they were showing is that, well, if they had been in church, they would not be watching it. But you know what? 30 years ago, when churches started bringing in the TV to watch the Super Bowl on Sunday night, I knew that was the next step was no longer to have a church service on Sunday night. Because I have a compass. You start going off. That's why you have to watch what you watch. Be careful where you go. Because I used to think if people had gray hair, they were spiritual. And many of them are. But many of them are aliens. Hello? I used to do a camp meeting in Quartzsite, Arizona. How many of y'all know where Quartzsite's at? For Brother Fisher. When I was recommended by Martha Tennyson. Because she couldn't make it 1 year, and I was still fairly young, and all these senior citizens go down there and they camp out in the desert, and a lot of them are sons of God, and now they dance, and now they're drinking, they backslid. And they won't come to the camp meeting because it bothers them. But Joshua's 90. He's not compromised. He loves God. He loves the presence of the Lord. When Moses went up into Sinai, Joshua went, he could not go all the way up, but he went halfway up. Because he loved the Lord. When Moses went into the tabernacle, Joshua goes in the tabernacle with him. Moses comes out, but the Bible says Joshua, the son of Nun, the young man, remained. And let me say something, folks. I want you to hear me, my heart. I really believe that Joshua was like, why don't you want to serve God? And as a preacher, I'm not some type of attained anything in life or ministry, but I really don't understand why people don't want to serve God. Well, we have our reason, but you don't understand, brother. I got hurt in church. He didn't shake my hand. We voted on the color of the carpet. They did color, pick the color I want. I know of a buddy of mine who was pastoring a church. They voted on the carpet. I go, oh my goodness. You're fixing to have a church split. Then it choose me. I never get to see my song. Well, brother, okay, you got hurt. We're disappointed. They did shake your hand. Anybody know who Dr. Lori Schlesinger is? On the radio? A lady called in from Oklahoma. Dr. Laura, I'm just so sad because my grandmother passed away. And Dr. Laura said, well, I'm so sorry that she passed away. I'm so sorry that she says, but that's not why I'm crying. She says, because when my grandmother died, she left all the inheritance to my brother. And I think that she loved him more than me. And Dr. Laura says, well, maybe she did. So what are you going to do about it? And I learned a long time ago, not everybody's going to like me, and not everybody's going to like you. And then I can always compliment you on your new dress or your new shoes or whatever you've got, and they will ignore you. But I'm not here for other folks. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. We're here to glorify the name of the Lord. Can you give the Lord a clap offering if you believe it tonight? Say, I've come to serve the Lord. Now Joshua says this. Are you bored in here yet? Notice what he says. Verse 15. Joshua says this. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. We just got to keep everybody happy, Brother Chris. We just got to make sure that everybody feels loved and cared for. And the new term is affirmed. We got to affirm everybody to keep them in church. Not Joshua. Hey, it's your choice. Suck it up. If it's evil for you to serve God, to serve the other gods. But don't try to play it both ways. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for what? Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're not giving our compass away. We're not giving the Word of God away. We're not giving our salvation away. We're not giving the Holy Ghost away. We're not giving miracles away. Can I get a witness out here? Can anybody lift up your voice and say hallelujah? It's amazing how many people give up because they can't handle the pressure. You know why it is? Because there's sometimes a little God. Remember when Jacob left Laban, his father-in-law's house, and his wife, Rachel? So some little gods with her in the tent and hid them? I'm preaching really old timey tonight, so hang with me. She hid him. And so when daddy came by looking for his gods, she was sitting on them. And I'm not going to go the whole story on that because we're in mixed company. But she's sitting on these gods because she loved them. And a lot of people have pet gods. I don't know why I don't ever have the victory. Why don't I ever have the victory? No, we pray for people. We talk to people. I don't counsel people. That's the pastor. I don't do that. You're trying to talk to them and pray with them and love them, and they never seem to really get the victory. And then I'm beginning to wonder why. What's going on in their life that they've not laid on the altar? Brother Scott, we talked about it. And I've been preaching for 40 years. And sometimes we get this amazing breakthrough for revival. One revival I did in South Texas for my presbyter. I was supposed to go there a Sunday through Wednesday, like here. And then, you know, I was going to go to the next place. And the Sunday night, the power of the Holy Ghost fell, and one of the board members' wives got saved. Now, we didn't know she wasn't saved. And she got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, there's about 400 people there. I don't know all these. I mean, I know some of them, but I don't know, you know, everybody. I don't know the stories. And so when I was done preaching, she came up to the pulpit and said, you know, she said, I didn't want any of this. And I don't say this in despairingly, but in the Hispanic culture, the upper class Hispanic, they love la vida social. They like that social life. You know, the tight jeans and the stilettos. They like that. And she loved it. She loved, as we say in the South, she liked to be a high roller. But she said, tonight, I got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. And when she did that, Brother Scott, it broke it up. If we were there for 3.5 months. It made the district news. We had around 400 in the first 2 months baptized in the Holy Ghost because of some of that repentance. Can I get a witness out here? Now, whenever it's like you almost get there, but something happens, there's usually something that's not confessed. It doesn't have to be some horrible sin. It can be an attitude. It could be something that, well, I don't know, the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost begins to deal with people, but then a lot of times, because they're being dealt with, they won't come. They don't want, oh man, it's getting really quiet here tonight. Hallelujah. You see, folks, it's so easy for us to look at other people. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We wonder why we're not seeing this mighty outpouring that everybody keeps prophesying in America for 40 years. They get on TBN. God's going to send this wave of glory. And I'm like, praise the Lord. And when I'm ready. But they never deal with the issue of forsaking the gods. Hallelujah, Jesus. I see those two amens out here. Praise the Lord. Three. Well, you don't understand, Chris, but you don't understand. I'm not talking about, I don't know. And that's why Joshua said, I've made up my mind. Whatever you all do or don't do, I'm going to serve the Lord. My house is going to serve the Lord. I'm too old to go back to the world. I'm too old to lose out with God. I'm too old to give into sin. I'm too old to go to hell. I'm too close to heaven to give up now. There's nothing in hell that I want, Israel. You want the gods? You're going to go to hell. The Bible says, are y'all with me tonight, church? If you're in sin, you'll go to hell. If you don't have a Savior called Jesus Christ, you're not going to make it into heaven. When you die, I remember I was in Albuquerque. I'm almost done. I guess Tim is not here. So sister, would you come and just play something softly for us tonight? Listen to me, church tonight. I was in Albuquerque at a hotel. And I tried to witness to a man there. And as I witnessing to this man, he said, "Well, I just believe that when we die, we just become energy." I said, "Where did you get that from?" He said, "Well, I thought it up." Hello? I said, "Well, you're wrong. You're not going to become energy when you die and just flow down the cosmos. And we didn't come from aliens." And my mother is not the earth. Hallelujah, Jesus. Everybody just shout hallelujah tonight. And the enemy wants you to get rid of your compass. And start accepting all this ungodliness that's come down from the federal government and the public school at the university. Say, "You know what? You need to just put that aside." But if people that do not have any boundaries will end up in destruction. But God is wanting to move through this church in such a powerful way. To say, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." How can two be agreed, or how can two walk together except they be agreed? Hallelujah, Jesus. He said, "This is what we do. This is the compass. That's north. That's south. That's east, and that's west." And the government can't change that. They cannot change the magnetic pole of the North Pole. You can tell every time you drain your drain in your sink, it goes like this because of the magnetic pole. And when you go to South America, it goes in opposite direction because of the magnetic pole. And man will not change the laws of God. Man will not change the Word of God. It's forever settled, ladies, in heaven. Let me say that. There's still power in the blood. There's still power in the Word. There's still power in the Holy Ghost. Sister Debbie, we may feel sick. We may be tired. But it's still the truth. Can anybody shout amen? It will never pass away. The grass will fade. The flowers will fade. But the Word of God will abide forever. Let me say that again. The Word of God will abide forever. Karl Marx, Charles Darwin, Engels, Sigmund Freud, they all thought it was going to eventually perish, but it did not perish. They're dead. They're in hell. But Jesus still reigns. He's still alive forevermore. Can you give the Lord a shout of praise? Woo! Glory to God. I said, glory to God. One more time, glory to God. When I preach in the eternal Word. This is eternal. I say it is eternal. It does not change. Say, "Well, Chris, if you preach like that, people won't come." Well, you're here. Well, But if you have a prayer meeting, people won't come. If you came, somebody came. All the abortionists, all the abortion clinics, all the good doctors, all the nurses that promote that will end up in a devil's hell. Because they do not give value to life. It's the Word of God that does. You see, idolatry is when you take God off the throne and you're on it. But I don't think it doesn't matter. Joshua said, we, my family, we will serve the Lord. When I was listening to, getting ready for this message, a preacher was talking about this, and he said, somebody wrote J. Edgar Hoover, who was over the FBI, a letter. Said, do I need to make my kids go to church and Sunday school? He said, by all means. He said, you make them go to school, don't you? You make them take a bath, don't you? Well, I don't think my kids don't like to think about it, so they're going to just stink. But when it comes to this, we become so afraid of people. But not Joshua. He said, it's your choice. And if God is evil to you, serve another God. But notice what he says in verse 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. God forbid that I would serve someone else. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Well, Chris, you may end up in prison. Then I end up in prison. You may be kicked out of town. I may be kicked out of town. But I will serve the Lord. Bishop Mason, sister, the founder of the Church of God in Christ, was put in prison. Put in jail for preaching. But he kept preaching. Paul preached in jail. When he would say, Caesar's house, salute you, he's referring to the guards he is chained to and he won to the Lord. I can't preach here. I'll preach there. No, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, can I get a witness tonight? Hallelujah! They don't want me here. I'll go there. Oh. Oh, Ramada Shata Lamahara Sata. Shata Ramahatika Tai. Shatari Shata Lamahaya. Glory to God. As I'm closing this message, Sister Deb's family came out of the Methodist Church. John Wesley, when he finally got saved, the founder of the Methodist Church, he was in the Episcopal Church in England, the Anglican Church. He comes to Georgia in the early 1700s to evangelize the Native Americans, and no one got baptized because he himself was not saved. He gets on a ship to go back to England, and they hit a storm on the Atlantic Ocean. He's real discouraged, and they hit the storm. So there's some Christians, Moravians, and they're Czechoslovakians. And they're not afraid. They're reading the Bible. They're praying. They're singing. He says, what is it about? What is it about y'all? He said, well, if we perish, we perish. Oh, can I get a Shata Ramahaya? Hey! Woo! Glory to God. He gets back to England. He says, I got to find one of those churches. So he goes to Aldersgate, England. And there, in Aldersgate, He is saved. Oh. And he goes back and he begins to preach in his parish. And they kick him out. They don't want that in that church. Oh, can I get a witness out here? I said, can I get a witness out here? One more time, can I get a witness out here? So he goes, they kick him out of one town, they kick him out of another town. So he ends up, if I remember the story, he goes to the cemetery where his father is buried and uses the headstone as a pulpit. And 20,000 people came out to hear him. Brother Scott, I don't want to embarrass you, but I'm telling you, folks, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I feel the Holy Ghost. And so he starts preaching these campaigns, and people start climbing up of the trees to hear John Wesley, and conviction falls on these people, and they begin to fall out of the trees on the ground, and they're screaming out for mercy unto God. Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm a sinner. Oh, Jesus. He got a team of preachers. They all had that same thing, Brother Scott. He got Asbury. Asbury came to the United States. Oh, Jesus. Revival breaks out of the frontier. Your state. That's why there's so many Methodist churches in New York State. Because of these men. They were circuit riding preachers. They got on horses. And they went from village to village to village. New York, Pennsylvania, to the South. They said the average lifespan of a circuit-riding Methodist preacher was 6 months. But they always had about 1,500 preachers waiting to take their place. Oh, Jesus. Heaven is shout, Jesus. Revival broke out. Heaven is shout, revival broke out. Say it again. Revival broke out. It was John Wesley that said, the world is my parish. I told you two nights ago, it was John Wesley that told his preachers, pray until you are on fire, and the world will come out to watch you burn. Oh, Jesus. How many did Finney win to the Lord in New York? When Finney preached in Rochester, that's in the books, over 100,000 people. What year was that, 1860? Hallelujah. 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 I won't do that to you, brother. But hallelujah. Everybody shout hallelujah right now. So say one more time. Revival broke out. Who was it that preached a great message? Sinners in the hands of an angry God? Jonathan Edwards. Was that 1760? Jonathan Edwards preaches a service in Connecticut, I believe it was. Sinners in the hands of an angry God, and people had so much conviction, brother, they were holding on to the pillars of the building as if though they were going to fall into hell. And that revival went down the eastern seaboard into the Carolinas, into Virginia, into Alabama, which was a penal colony, into Georgia. That's why the South is the Bible Belt. Lord Jesus. Does anybody in this room want to go all the way? It was that revival of the Great Awakening that brought, sister, the abolition of slavery. When people were converted and they say, so owning the black man is a sin and we've got to get rid of it. It was that revival that brought the American Revolution. I want to see a revival like that, Brother Scott, that changes the society. Changes the university. Revival broke out in Arizona in the late 1800s with through the Presbyterian Church on the reservations here. When you put away your other gods and we only have one, brother, well, you only have one. You only have one. Only one. Ladies, you only have one. Look out, Katie, bar the door. Lift your hands, we'll be saints. You've been so patient. Uramarashataya. Thank you so much, sister, for playing for me. Thank you so much. Oh, Jesus. And praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Everybody sing it if you would tonight. Hallelujah. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven, hallelujah, Lord, and praise the Lord. Let's just praise. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and pray. Come here, sister Cece. We're going to sing this again. I want you to sign it as we sing this. Sign it to them. Let's just pray. That's beautiful. Pray the Lord. Let's just lift our hands and praise the Lord. Let's just pray. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift Just keep playing that, sister. Just keep playing that. You know, I believe one reason why Joshua was so convinced is he had seen God give them Jericho. You know why Brother Scott is so convinced? Because he's seen God move in the past. You know why some of you, Brother Valentine, is so convinced? How old were you, Brother Valentine, when you started preaching? And what year was that? 10. But what year was that? 49. Hallelujah. Brother, how long have you been serving the Lord? Yes, sir. Over 40 years? Have you seen God move? Many times. Brother Valentine, have you seen God move? What about you? His father pioneered several churches in Arizona. And you know that serving God really pays. It really pays. Can we sing that one more time? As Sister Cece and the... Who's ever here that does this? Karen? Who else? Whoever does this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Debbie, God has His hand on your life. Young lady, God has His hand on your life. God definitely, she's been ordained for 45 years. 45. All right. Forever. Is he faithful? Is he faithful? Sister, your daddy was a preacher. Is God faithful? Yes. Is he faithful? Is God faithful? Young man, is God faithful? Brother, is God faithful? I've asked Sister Christy, but ask her when she comes back in. Is God faithful? Brother, is God faithful? Young lady, is God faithful? Is God faithful? Young man, is God faithful? Is God faithful? God wants to use you. He wants to use your life. He wants to make you, Sister Manga preach, of a revival vessel. And you want to be one, a firebrand for God. Let's sing it right now. And you y'all do that. Let's just pray. Pray. I got to get this. Our hands toward heaven. Hallelujah. Pray. Toward heaven and praise the Lord. Are y'all sisters? Oh my goodness. Let's sing it again then. Let's just pray. Sister Chris, is God faithful? Is the Lord faithful? Our hands. Let's just hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap offering tonight. Amen. Just keep playing. You're doing fine. Am I wearing you out? All right. Just keep playing whatever you want to. I'm going to ask a question now. How many of you tonight are willing to go all the way in serving God? And I'm including myself in this altar call. Brother Scott, I don't want to get almost and then something hinders it. I don't just save it in my life. The old timers of the South say, hold on to the world lightly. Don't hold on to it lightly. The Holy Ghost all over your mama. So everybody that says, I want to give everything to Jesus, would you come and just stand here in the front? Hallelujah, Jesus. If you can't stand, you can sit. We understand that. We're not trying to wear anybody out, but just come as close as you can to this front over here, this around this altar. Hallelujah, Jesus. Kuramarashata. Begin to talk to God right now. Lord Jesus, take my life. Señor, toma mi vida. Entrégame, Cristo, mi vida a ti, Jesús. I give you my life tonight. I give you any gods that would keep me from fulfilling the divine mandate of God on Chris Clark's life. Lord Jesus, we give it all. Sharamarokuramarisitia. Ramarashata la marokuta la mahaya. This world is going to pass away. It will eventually be burnt up with fervor and heat. The Lord, your word, will abide for eternity. Oh, Sharamara, oh, Rishit. Kuramara Shataya. Kuramara Shatala Mara Shataya. Your word will abide forever. Your word, O God, will abide forever.